Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listen to Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 96, and today we're going to be talking about the song called Massacre Mascara from the same When Painkillers Fail album. Massacre Mascara is a peculiar track because the majority of it is based on a dream. The events that are described in this song are not real-life events, in case anybody was wondering, because some people might assume certain things, and granted, for the most part, a lot of my songs are based on real-life events, but some of them, however, are based on dreams, and this is just one of these examples of a dream-based song, Massacre Mascara. So, I had a dream back in 2007, as far as I remember. Around the time when the song was written, very weird, very strange dream. I was married back then in 2007 in the dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night to find that my security guards were slaughtered. Two of my security guards down on the first story, they were dead, and then I discovered another one on the second story. Who was dead as well in the dream. And then someone else, another security guard, was dead somewhere else. So, and in the dream, I was trying to find out what happened. It was dark, it was murky, and the house, the property seemed to be endless. And then I figured in the dream somehow at some point that it is my husband who went after my security guards, took them out, and that he's coming after me, and in the dream I had to kill him to defend myself. There's a lot more detail to this dream, but it was a very bizarre dream at the time, and a very vivid one, as it usually is the case in my dreams. Everything is very vivid, everything is very realistic, the pain is real, the sensations of, you know, warmth and cold in the atmosphere, the humidity, all of that is very real. All the flavors and all the scents are real. So it was a hyper-realistic dream. And I want to write a song about it. Not quite understanding what is the song gonna be about per se, but I kind of put a dramatic twist to it in the process of my songwriting, because I wanted to kind of emphasize that someone whom I love, or someone whom I loved, at some point came after me, trying to kill me, and I had to kill him trying to defend myself, and that's quite a conundrum. So I've emphasized that aspect of it in the song. Of course I had to generalize a little bit, and not exactly describe the dream, but to kind of draw upon the dream and then derive from that something of artistic value, something that I could write a song about, and extract some sort of dramatic value out of it as well. And this is basically what Massacre Mascara is about. It's about a whole tight knot of emotions and about survival at the same time, and that's why it is so dark. It's a pretty dark track. It's pretty ominous, It starts out as ominous, and then it has some raging parts in it. Musically, though, I have to say that I think that Massacre Mascara draws upon a song by Slipknot called Purity. I think in spirit, not music-wise, because the music is different, but in terms of the spirit, rather, the feel, I think what I was drawing upon was Purity by Slipknot from their self-titled album. The riffs in Massacre Mascara, of course, are different, and the singing is different, and the rapping is different, and but the mood and the feeling and the darkness, that kind of combination, and the BPM, most important, the BPM, is kind of reminiscent of Purity by Slipknot. And at the same time, another song that I was drawing on was Vermilion by Slipknot as well, from Subliminal Verses, from that album. Not the part 2 Vermilion, but the part 1 Vermilion, actually. And this is evident in the verses and in the voicings of the electronic guitar and the bass line. It's kind of reminiscent, because it's one of my favorite songs, Vermilion, part 1 by Slipknot, and Purity is another favorite song. I actually like that whole album, self-titled album, and the Iowa album as well. Vermilion, from the Subliminal Verses album. Subliminal Verses was kind of, I don't know, when it just came out, I felt kind of divided about this. I liked Iowa a lot more. And then I guess Subliminal Verses kind of grew on me a little bit. But at the time, I was drawing upon those two songs, Purity and Vermilion. And I didn't want to copy those songs, I didn't want to do something like those songs, but I could resonate with those songs a lot, and so it's, I guess, no wonder that when I've seen A Dream Like This, I was more than willing to try to deliver something along these lines. So, with that being said, let's move on to the next section. I'll try to provide some basic music analysis, shall we? So here we go with the music analysis. Massacre Mascara is in the key of D minor. It briefly deviates into some other key, which is hard to tell if it's B or something like that, but then it returns back to D minor and remains there for the remainder of the song. That little deviation in the key happens early on in the song. It's basically like an aftermath of the intro, and then we're going back to D minor. But in whichever case, let's jump right into the analysis, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to play the song from the intro, from the very beginning, all the way until, I guess, until the end of the bridge, right before the first verse, and then we will continue from there. So let's listen.
We'll be right back.
The song opens up with a spooky, rather spooky intro. The very, very spooky intro. I mean, the very, very beginning starts with a drum loop and with some... And there is some high distorted keyboard pad that plays that. And then does this, which adds dissonance, because there is some low note that plays the D, but on top of that we're doing the F and E flat. And then after that we're entering the intro proper, which starts out with a bass line. And I'll play it slower than it is in the original, and I will approximate it so that you just get the feel of it. Something to this effect. So at the root of it, and I'm not sure about this phrase, probably something like that. We're dancing around the D, the root of the key. There's a C D D C D D C D D C D D, and there's an E flat, so we're in Phrygian minor. Then again, this is repeated, the C, D, C, D, and then we're going up to G flat. And the bass walks up to like in a B flat, G flat, and down back again. And then again back to C, D. And then, after that, on the fourth line, we're jumping to a B-flat. So after the first pass, this bass riff is joined by the electronic guitars and the drums and everything. We're going full in, and there is a yelling and screaming in the back that happens at the same time, and it all just escalates. And then after that, once this intro riff is over, there are some there is a tritone basically that hangs there in the electronic guitars as an aftermath after this intro riff, whereas in the bass we have this brief deviation to a different key, as it seems. There's a B, 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 E flat, E, A, A, B, dun. And then immediately after this, we're going into the verse. So now let's listen to the verse. Verse 1, bridge, etc., etc. Let's get to the first hook. So from verse 1 now, let's listen all the way to the first hook.
I'm not afraid to die.
I'm not going to comment on the... I'm not going to dissect and analyze much the electronic guitar that plays... There is a little guitar that plays on like a muted string, something to this effect, but I'm not gonna claim that that's precisely so. That's what's going on in the right hand, or in the electronic guitar. But what's more important is that the entire verse is predicated on a very simple, repetitive riff that happens in the bass. The bass goes D, B flat, F, A, D, B flat, E, F, E, F, A, D, B flat, E, F, A, D, B flat, E, F, A. And then after this, we're going into, after this is basically the whole first verse, we're jumping into, again, the riff that served as intro. Do you remember the one before the first verse, the full-out riff? We're there again. Oh, excuse me, no, we're not there again. First. There is what I called in my notes the bridge to hook, which is the rhythmically kind of sounds like this. And there is a melody, the vocals start singing. There are eight chords, two lines, comprised of four chords with a slight variation. So there is a B flat major, probably a plus seven, but it's hard to tell. Then there is a C sharp major, or call it a D flat major. Then there is a C major minus seven. And there's a G minor with an added E, which means plus 6. Then again, B flat major. C sharp major or D flat major, whatever you call it. C major minus 7. And then A major. The so-called bridge to hook. I will refer to it this way because it will most frequently appear before the hooks. But here, it kind of, when you listen to the song for the first time, it makes you feel as if this is the hook, but it is not the hook. And then, now we're going back again to the intro riff. That riff, with some screaming, and there are some lyrics on top of that which are being growled and screamed and rapped, and then we're going to dun 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 dun. There is like a messy little bridge that kind of is centered around the D chord, and there's a little shika shika dum dum, and then after that we're going into the second verse, which again is almost exactly the same as the first verse. The only difference is the intensity. So it's the same. D,
that Eve have. So again, same story like in the first verse, and again, just like after the first verse, we're having this quote-unquote bridge to hook, which we've already analyzed, so it's a B-flat major. Which brings us to A major, right? To the dominant chord, and then after that there is a small bridge, again a different, these small little bridges, something, it's these little bridges are mostly little derivatives from the intro riff, so something to this effect happens there. Something like that. And then we're jumping into the hook. So, the hook is probably the simplest part of the song because it's comprised of the same four chords, which are being repeated over and over again, and only on the last line there is a difference. So it starts with a D minor. Flat major. This is a G flat major plus 7. A major. Again, D minor. B flat major. Again, G flat major. Last line, D minor, B flat major, and here's where it gets a little tricky. So it's G flat major plus 7, which becomes a minus 7 because of the melody, and then an E flat major plus 7 in the end. And that's the entire hook, as I said, four chords. Let's listen from here on all the way to the end, and then I will comment. Yeah, after the first hook, which as you can see happens way into the song, you would think that the first hook would happen in the first minute. Well, it's not the case in Massacre in Mascara. It is kind of protruded all the way from the beginning. It's like, I don't remember, I have to look it up, but it's probably like in the second minute or something like that. So it's pretty far into the song. Then after that, there is yet another mutation of the intro riff, which was this riff. So there is another derivative, which goes kind of like this. And it happens over a build-up. It repeats twice. So first there is a lonely little guitar that plays this. So it's a D minor. B flat major, again D minor. G flat major plus 7, then a G minor. Then B flat major, E flat major, and then the same chord progression happens a lot heavier, and there is again screaming, yelling, and all of that kind of jazz. And then after that, we are all of a sudden everything, the intensity subsides, and again. There's that little guitar that picks that kind of stuff, and there are some pads hanging out there, and it's a more kind of a lyrical little thing that happens here. And now after that, there is yet another build-up again, a massive build-up, which again starts with the smaller guitar. Flat major plus 7, D minor, G minor, G flat major, E flat major, A major. Then we're going back to the, there's an E-flat that goes to an A. And then again, we're going back to the bridge to hook, the one that I've mentioned before, and you remember it. Goes back to this. I'm not singing a lot today because I was recording vocals for the Take the Jive album for like 2 days straight. So my voice is kind of really needs rest. I'm trying not to put any strain on it. So bridge to hook. Again, there is a small bridge. Over an A flat, this time goes into the hook. Mm-hmm. twice with the same chord progression: D minor, B flat major, G flat major, A major. These four chords are repeated thrice, and then on the last line, it is a D minor, B flat major, G flat major, and an E flat major. Then we're going back to a variation of the intro riff yet again. We've heard this chord progression just recently, so it's saying D minor, B flat major again, D minor, G flat major, then G minor, B flat major, E flat major. And then there is a torn apart, ripped to shreds version of the same intro riff. And it kind of is ripped apart, and that's the outro. The song concludes with kind of the spooky kind of vibe that it started with. So, with that being said, the song concludes with kind of the same spooky vibe that it started with, only this time there is perhaps a little bit more tension. And with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, Massacre Mascara has a rather peculiar structure. It has several parts, quite a multitude of parts, and one goes into another, and it's not a straightforward structure. The hook in this song is being introduced pretty late. There is a lot of emphasis on a specific texture and a specific rhythmical texture, because of this tapa 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 tapa, this guitar that does this thing up there. At the same time, there are certain parts that break apart this mold and contrast with these neater, quieter parts. And there's some brutal parts, really. And the hook is being shown how many times? Basically three times, just three times. However, the intro riff, comparatively, is being repeated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And it is the intro riff. It is also shown in various bridges all over the place. It mutates into this. It has this little derivative and that other little derivative. And then the same riff that started this song essentially concludes this song, so that brings cohesion. So in this particular song, in Massacre Mascara, instead of bringing the whole emphasis on the hook, like it usually happens in songs when the hook carries the most punch, here this focus is shifted towards the intro riff. Maybe because the entire song actually started with this intro riff, and with the idea for the bridge to hook. The hook came much later. Probably the last melody that I came up with was the hook melody, but the bridge to hook melody. Dum. Bum bum da dum bum 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 bum. This one. It's short, but
That's where the song originally started. And then there were the verses, and then there was the hook. So, in that regard, Masako Mascara has a rather peculiar structure. But then again, I think practically every song on this album, on the When Pink Heroes Fail album, each one of them has a rather unique and unconventional structure to it, which is part intentional, part that is because I wanted to explore expanded song structures at the time. That's why. So this, I think, is going to be where I'm going to be wrapping up this episode. And of course, if you want to read the lyrics to Masako Mascara, please visit genius.com. Look for Catherine Corelli. And you can find all of my lyrics for all of my released music, including Masako Mascara, including the entire When Pink Heroes Fail album. If you haven't heard this song before, or you want to listen to the entire album, or you haven't heard any of my music at all whatsoever, you can find my music on any major streaming platform. And finally, I've made it possible to make Catherine Corelli in the footnotes to this episode into a clickable link. So when you click that link, it will give you a list of various platforms ranging from Spotify to YouTube Music, iTunes and Amazon and Apple Music, where you can go and listen to my song. And if you like my music, please follow me, share it, use it in your TikTok videos or Instagram videos, wherever you prefer. I will appreciate this a lot. It helps spread the word. If you want to leave me a comment, there is an email in the footnotes. So if you want to leave me a lengthy comment, you can always reach out to me through my email, or alternatively, you can leave a comment on this show. Now, also as usual, I want to make a shout out to my other business, which is southerncaracal.com. Southern from the word south, and caracal, caracal.com. Currently, because it's holiday season, we have a promo with 5 aromatherapy bars of soap. You buy 5 aromatherapy bars of soap and you get a free 5-pack assorted lip balm 5-pack that you get for free. We also have bundles. We have 4-piece bundles. We have 3-piece bundles. We restocked on our lotions, which are deeply moisturizing and hydrating. They're good for your skin. We got CBD soaps, and we're going to have soon CBD massage oil and CBD lotions as well, which combines the benefits of the moisturizing qualities and the healing properties of oats and honey and essential oils with the wonderful pain relieving healing properties of the CBD oil, which is being extracted right here in the great state of Kentucky. So check out our website, southerncaracal.com. Pick something for yourself, for your friends and family, and your skin and the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. And with that being said, thank you very much for being here with me. Thank you for spending your time listening to this podcast. If you like this podcast, please don't hesitate to share it. I love you, and you will hear me on the next episode.